I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Allah. My dear viewers of I Love Islam, welcome back in the I Love Islam program in the Madani Channel studio. Alhamdulillah. And today we have some very important discussions that we are going to have. But before we do anything else, I think we should straight go to the quiz of the day.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
It's quiz of the day. This is where we ask you a question and you have to answer the question. Should we start then? In which surah of the Holy Quran is the story of the Ashabi Kahf mentioned? This is an interesting one. In which surah of the Quran is the story of the people of the cave, Ashabi Kahf? Where is that story mentioned in the glorious Quran? Subhanallah. We are looking for the surah name. That's an interesting one. Let's see if you can find that yourself. MashaAllah, I think it is challenging, but it's not that hard. Because a lot of kids, they have heard the story of the cave. If you haven't, then that's something for you to work out. Which surah is the story of the cave mentioned in the glorious Quran? Now it's time for us to move forward towards our first segment of the day, My Islam.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, My Islam. Alhamdulillah, in this segment, we get a chance to learn so many beautiful things about our religion. And Alhamdulillah, we try to choose those topics that express the greatness and the beauty of our deen, of Islam. Subhanallah. Today we have selected one such topic. It's a wonderful topic. It's a lovely topic. Subhanallah. It brings warmth to the hearts. Subhanallah. It makes you feel satisfied. It makes you feel motivated. You feel so excited. What is that topic? Let's look at the screen. Inviting others to goodness. Inviting others to goodness. Inviting people towards a good thing. And also stopping people from the bad. That's also good as well. So preventing people from evil. Inviting people to go towards good and stopping them from evil. All is good, isn't it? Subhanallah. We have a very important topic. Subhanallah. Inviting someone towards good. How important is this? What's the significance of this role? Today, inshallah, I'm going to share with you some important, you can say, rulings regarding this. I'm going to share with you some history about inviting people towards the truth, towards guidance. And also, I want to share with you some facts about one of the great organizations in the world, a worldwide network. And what this network, this organization, this movement has achieved in the last 40 odd years. Allahu Akbar. I'm going to be sharing with you some facts and figures, inshallah. And this will explain to us how some people, some individuals, some organizations are taking part in spreading the teachings of Islam and spreading the goodness. Subhanallah. But let me take you all the way back now. I want you to rewind. Let's go back to the history. And let's look at the objective and the purpose of Anbiya-i Kiram, the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, alayhimus salam, the mighty, the great individuals from the whole humanity, those people who are the most closest to Allah Ta'ala, those people who have a very high rank in the court of Allah, are those chosen men who are known as prophets of Allah. Subhanallah. Prophets of Allah are noble people, great people, amazing personalities. They are superior than anyone else. They are prophets and messengers of Allah Ta'ala. Subhanallah. And how many prophets did come? How many prophets arrived on the earth? Do you know? Do you know the exact number? Well, Allah knows the exact number. But what we know, that so many prophets of Allah arrived. So many prophets, thousands and thousands of prophets of Allah, they came to the earth. They lived on the earth and they came here with one mission. Each and every prophet of Allah had one goal, one objective, one mission. Allahu Akbar. Although some prophets, they were centuries apart, thousands of years apart, but their mission was same. It was one mission, one goal. From Prophet Adam a.s. to all the great prophets, Prophet Ibrahim a.s., Prophet Nuh a.s., Sulaiman a.s., Dawood a.s., Prophet Lut a.s., Prophet Zakaria a.s., Prophet Musa a.s., Prophet Isa a.s., all these great and mighty prophets of Allah Ta'ala all came with one goal, one mission. And then came the seal of the prophets, the one who came as the finality of the prophethood. He came as the last and final prophet of Allah Ta'ala. That is none other than our beloved master, our beloved prophet, Sayyiduna Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam. So all the prophets from Adam al-Islam to Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, all these great personalities who came on this earth, why did they come? What was their objective? What was their one mission? Their mission was to invite people towards goodness, to guide people towards true belief in God, true belief in Allah. All these prophets came to encourage people, to guide people towards Allah Ta'ala and His commands. Subhanallah. That is the main objective, the purpose of all these prophets being sent to the mankind for guidance. Yeah, and that is linked to our topic, isn't it? What's our topic? Inviting others to goodness. And all the prophets of Allah Ta'ala came for this very purpose, inviting people towards the truth, towards the goodness. So all the prophets of Allah Ta'ala, why did they come? They came to guide the humans, to guide them. Where? Guide them to where? Guide them towards Allah Ta'ala, showing them the true path, the true beliefs in Allah Ta'ala, and to tell them to follow the commands of Allah Ta'ala, to take them people away from the hellfire and get them to the path towards the Jannah, towards paradise, in which there's a place when Allah Ta'ala becomes happy with people, Allah Ta'ala will give them the gift of paradise. Subhanallah. So all the prophets of Allah Ta'ala came for this one mission, one purpose, to guide the mankind. And now, from all the prophets, how many came? Okay, the messengers, the Rasul who came, scholars have said around 313 messengers were sent down. And how many prophets came? Allah knows the exact number. But just to give us an idea that so many prophets came, scholars have also given this figure. They say more or less 124,000 prophets came. They were sent for this purpose. 124,000 prophets. Allahu Akbar. More or less. The exact number Allah knows best. But they came with one purpose, one mission, to guide the mankind towards Allah Ta'ala and His commands. Subhanallah. And then came the last and final Prophet of Allah. Our beloved master, the king of Makkah and Medina, our beloved master, Habibullah, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he came as the last and final Prophet of Allah. The question is that these Prophets, Anbiya Ikram, they came to guide people towards good. What happens after this? After our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, whose responsibility is it to guide people? Because we see in our society, there are so many people who do wrong things. There are so many people who have gone on the wrong way. And who's going to guide them? Because our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam is the last and final Prophet of Allah. There's no other Prophet going to come. So whose responsibility is it? Who will guide all these people? What will happen to the humans? And just to let everyone know, I've kept something safe, or something that Adam, you know, he loves doing. He loves drawing Islamic, you know, paintings. He likes doing the Islamic paintings, mashallah. And here you can see, mashallah, he's drawn a beautiful image of the Holy Kaaba. So nice, so beautiful. Mashallah. And it's amazing. And not just this, I did give him a task a few weeks ago. If he remembers it, the task was he's supposed to do 3 more art pieces.
Yeah.
Do you remember what were they?
I love Islam.
Yes. Madani Channel.
Oh yeah,
Madani Channel. MashaAllah, well done for remembering. But I can't say well done for bringing those paintings. Where are they?
I'm going to bring them soon.
Have you started them?
Yeah, I'm going to start them.
You're going to start them.
Because I've been writing.
So you're just waiting for Eid then, are you?
No, I've been writing.
What's going on?
I've been writing the knots, that's why.
Oh, you're practicing a knot?
Yeah, that's why.
MashaAllah. Did you manage to write the knot then?
Yeah, I'm still writing it. I'm on my 13th line, I think.
MashaAllah. Which knot are you writing down?
Hasbi Rabbi Jalla.
Hasbi Rabbi Jalla. So that means very soon, inshallah, we're going to hear that in the kalam from you. Are you going to practice it?
Yeah, I'm going to practice it.
Inshallah. Do you know the chorus, the beginning few lines?
Hasbi Rabbi Jalallah
Ma fi qalbi ghayrullah Nuri Muhammad Sallallahu La ilaha illallah. Subhanallah, mashallah. Now that was just a little teaser. Mashallah, Adam is actually taking the challenge. Yeah, he's writing the knot down now in his notebook and he's practicing it. Inshallah, he's going to practice and very soon, inshallah, he will be able to hear this kalam from him. So how many hours do you need to learn?
Like 18 hours.
18 hours?
Or like a week.
You want a week?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've given you 2 weeks already.
A day then.
A day. Oh, look at that. This is, it's actually linked to our topic today. You know what's the topic today? Inviting others to goodness. Oh. Yeah, and we've just done a little practical. So look, you're planning to do something good anyway. You were learning a lot. You wrote it down, and you're thinking in your mind, okay, I'll take a week to learn it. Yeah, that's what you said. That was your mindset. Yeah. So what did I do? How did I bring you down to one day? What did I do?
You convinced me.
I convinced you. I encouraged you. Yeah. Why take a week? Come on, do less than that. Yeah, so I encouraged you to do something good. You're doing good anyway, but you could do that good quickly. Why should we wait for a week to listen to a knot from you? We want to listen to it tomorrow. Actually, it'll be nice. It'll be nice if you could do it by tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, you could try it. There's no harm in trying. Inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. So this was a practical example of inviting towards goodness. So you can encourage each other, but you can only do that if you have a positive frame of mind. That's what's needed today. People need to be positive. But anyway, I'm going to come back to that little topic again. But we were talking about, let me take you back. Adam just came now. So I'm going to just rewind something for Adam. Then I'm going to go back to the topic in hand. We're talking about inviting others towards good. I'm going to share this topic and we'll discuss with you as well. And I want you to remember some key points from what I'm saying. Then I'm going to ask you the lesson that you learned from here. Or the facts, key facts and lessons that you've gathered from the discussion. Yeah? By the way, before we carry on,
yeah,
I want to show you something. MashaAllah, I have two pieces of papers here, two drawings, two Islamic drawings. Which one should I go with first? Okay, I'll go with this one first. Come on then, are we ready? MashaAllah, these both have come from Inayah. MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, beautiful image of the Holy Kaaba. SubhanAllah, that's quite nice. It's nice and neat. MashaAllah, minarets, the Holy Kaaba Sharif, and I like the colouring, the colour theme as well, black and yellow, the golden, MashaAllah, obviously it has a golden writing on the Kaaba Sharif, MashaAllah, beautiful. And also, SubhanAllah, the beautiful green dome of Masjid-e-Nabawi Sharif, SubhanAllah, Medina. So we have Makkah and Medina. And I do dua that Allah Ta'ala shows you, takes you to Makkah and Medina this year with your family, inshaAllah. Back to our discussion now. So today we were talking about the importance of inviting other people to good. Inviting other people to good. So I've started off with mentioning a very important point that all the prophets of Allah Ta'ala who were sent, there was thousands of them. So many came. And so many came, like some of them, they came like, you know, 100 years apart, 1,000 years apart. But when they came, all of them, they came with one mission, one goal. All of them had one objective, one purpose. And that was to guide people towards Allah. To guide them on the truth. Towards Allah Ta'ala, having the correct beliefs about God and the correct way of worshipping and following the commands of Allah Ta'ala. They came with the one purpose, one mission. And all the prophets came, they came with one objective. On all the believers who followed the teachings of those prophets, they are all Muslims. They are all believers. And this mission was completed. The message that was being conveyed years upon years, it was being transmitted through so many people. It got completed by our beloved Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Our beloved Master Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam came as the last and final Prophet of Allah. So hundreds and thousands of prophets came for one mission, to guide people towards good. The question is, what happens next? Because there's no new prophet who's going to come. And it's been more than 1,446 years since the announcement of the prophethood. Because 1,446 years, this is since the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Makkah to Medina. So Islamic calendar is from the blessed migration. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam announced his blessed prophethood before this. There were some years in the blessed city of Makkah before as well. So more than 1,450 years. The question is, what's next then? What's going to happen to people? And what has been happening so far? The answer to this is, this responsibility, this noble task and responsibility has now been transferred and given to the Ummah, the nation of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and the honorable Sahaba, the blessed companions of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They took on this task wholeheartedly. They took on this mission and they taught people. They spread the teachings of Islam. They guided people towards the truth. They kept on teaching people, spreading the teachings of the Quran and Islam and the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And slowly, 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 Allahu Akbar, the teachings of Islam spread across the world. You can say the beautiful green tree of Islam is now spread all around the world. Every corner of the world, wherever you go, you will find Muslims. Muslims who may speak different languages, who may not be able to understand each other, who may have different cultures, who may have different clothing. They speak different languages. But subhanAllah, they believe in the same religion. They believe in the same faith. And Islam spread so far and wide. This is due to the hard work and efforts and the services of the honorable Sahaba, alayhim ridwan, then the generations that came after, then those who came after, then the great scholars of Islam, great heroes of Islam who did so much work to spread the beautiful teaching of Islam. So this is how Islam has reached us, by the hard work and efforts of Islamic scholars. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, we are so lucky that we are Muslims. We have the correct teachings of Islam with us. We have the Islamic scholars to guide us. And this is the hard work and efforts of all these great people who came in the past and they spread the beautiful teachings of Islam. Now we have a responsibility. All the Muslims, every Muslim has a responsibility to spread the message of Islam according to their own capability, according to your own knowledge and understanding and capability. We all have a responsibility to pass on the message of Islam. Subhanallah. And this is in the recent history, something extraordinary happened. Extraordinary, that we've not witnessed this before. We've not seen this before. Allahu Akbar, something special, something extraordinary happened. What was this? Inshallah, I'm going to share with you very shortly, inshallah. But now I want to let you know, we have another guest who's joined us in the program. And it's a regular face here, mashallah. He's been coming here. Let's go and see him. It's Noman Raza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Noman Raza, welcome back again. Mashallah, it's a beautiful day today, isn't it?
Yeah.
So are you ready for the program? Are you excited? Mashallah, well done for coming here. And mashallah, you just prayed your namaz. Muslim should love praying namaz. Why? Because namaz is something that connects you with Allah Ta'ala. It gets you closer to Allah Ta'ala. This is something very close to us. It's very important to us. So well done. Proud of you all of the kids. Mashallah, the boys and girls who read their namaz punctually every day. May Allah Ta'ala bless you and may you keep praying your namaz, inshallah. And may Allah Ta'ala bless you and fill your hearts with the love of namaz and Quran. Mashallah, well done both of you, right? Because we're talking about inviting towards goodness. Now I want to share with you some facts. Something extraordinary happened in the last 40 odd years. Yes, something extraordinary, and I want to share with you some facts. Alhamdulillah, it was 1981. By the way, I'm sharing this. I was waiting for both of you to arrive so I could share these facts with you, because I'm going to share with you some facts and figures. And you need to remember, because I'm going to have a little quiz as well.
Is that over 45 years ago?
44 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, around 44 years ago. It's 1981. Yes, September, 2nd September 1981, 2nd of September 1981. This is the day when, subhanallah, one of the historical events took place in the recent history. And that is, this is the day when the worldwide network that we know today, which is called Dawat-e-Islami officially was formed on 2nd September 1981. And now it's been around 44 years, subhanallah. And in these, why has it been formed? The word Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat-e-Islami. Dawat means invitation. Islami means Islam. So inviting towards Islam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this organization is called Dawat-e-Islami. Now, I want to share with you, in these 44 years, you might think it's a lot of time. Kids will think 44 years is a lot of time. But let me tell you, in these 44 years, what Dawat-e-Islami has achieved. Dawat-e-Islami, when it started, it was only small. It started from a masjid. A small masjid. And then slowly spread and it grew. People, it became popular. People started joining this organization, this movement. They got the love for the sunnah and they loved practicing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And they started following this. They brought change in their lives. And then the message of Dawat-e-Islami started spreading, you know, from one city to another city, and this carried on. So it started from Karachi, which is a city in Pakistan. From there, it spread all over Pakistan. You know, after some years, it went all over Pakistan. Then it went outside Pakistan. Now, it's all over the world. It's all over the world. And now, when a time came when there was a need to produce Islamic scholars. So Dawat-e-Islami started a department called Jamiatul Madina. What is it called?
Jamiatul Madina.
I'm telling you the names. I want you to remember them. I'm going to tell you department names and I'm going to tell you figures. Let's see who remembers them. Okay? So pay attention. So Dawud Islami started a department called Jamiatul Madina around 30 years ago. And this was responsible to produce Islamic scholars. And remember, to produce Islamic scholar, it takes about 7-8 years. Okay, from beginning, the intermediate, advanced studies, then expert detailed studies. It takes about 7 to 8 years to produce one Islamic scholar. Yeah, and Dawud Islami opened institutes where so many kids, so many youngsters, adults, boys have a different campus, girls have a different campus. They started joining the Alim program to become Islamic scholars. In the space of around 30 years, Dawud Islami now has opened 1,500 branches of Jamiatul Madina. 1,500 branches. To run one branch of Jamiatul Madina, one branch means one institute, one building, one place. And to run one place, you need thousands and thousands of pounds. It has so much expense. And Dawud Islami has how many? 1,500 branches of Jamiatul Madina, which are Islamic universities. This is around the world. And how many students are currently studying there? How many students? 131,000 students are studying in these Jamiatul Madina. From those students who actually studied and they've graduated now, they've become Islamic scholars and they are doing the work of deen. How many of them are there? How many do you think? How many do you think that they become scholars? Remember, it takes 7-8 years to make one scholar. So it's been 30 years. How many scholars Dawud Islami has produced? Have a guess.
3 or 4.
What do you think, Noman? Just have a guess. Dawud Islami, whilst Noman's thinking, I'll give you the answer. Dawud Islami has produced
over 100.
34,000 scholars. Allahu Akbar. Everyone say, Subhanallah.
Subhanallah.
It's just mind-blowing. 34,000 scholars. Allahu Akbar. In the space of around 30 years. That's more than 1,000 scholars a year. Allahu Akbar. Now, let's look at another great works, great service that Dawud Islami is doing towards the service of teaching the Quran. There's a department called Madrasatul Madina. Madrasatul Madina is a department which is responsible for teaching children, boys and girls, how to recite the glorious Quran. So teaching them the basic rules of Quran, then teaching them how to read fluently, and then getting them to memorize the Quran. Many of these kids then go forward and memorize, they become hafiz of the Quran. So this department is called Madrasatul Madina. What was the first department called? Jamiatul
Madina.
Madina. Look, these are new names for you. This is where we get our phone. So Jamiatul Madina is Islamic University. Madrasatul Madina is Quran Learning Institute. Madrasatul Madina is?
Quran Learning Institute.
Okay. Let's see how much work has Dawud Islami done in the Madrasatul Madina institutes around the world. Dawud Islami has 15,800 branches of Madrasatul Madina around the globe. Allahu Akbar, 15,800 branches. Subhanallah. And how many students are benefiting from these institutes? How many kids, how many youngsters are learning the Quran? You want to know the figure? Allahu Akbar, more than 400,000 students are benefiting from these institutes. 400,000 students are currently learning in these institutes. How many of them have become hafiz of the Quran, and how many of them have completed the whole Quran? Yeah, so that number put together, the hafiz and those who've completed the Quran, the number put together, you want to know? This is mind-blowing now. 500,000 students. 500,000 students. That's 500,000 students who have completed the whole Quran, reciting the whole Quran and memorization of the Quran. Those kids who have memorized the Quran and those who have completed the Quran, in total, 500,000. 500,000. This is a huge service for Islam. Subhanallah. This is which organization? Dawate Islami. Subhanallah. Now, Dawood Islami has an online department that where people don't have the facility to go, you know, in person to the madrasa. They can't go physically to go to madrasa and study. Dawood Islami has an online department to teach people the Quran, teach them the basic essential knowledge of Islam. They have various courses. The department is called Faizan Online Academy. 24,000 students, and they are studying from 90 different countries. 90 different countries. People from 90 different countries are benefiting from one of the department of Dawood Islami. It's called Faizan Online Academy. And how many of them have actually completed various courses? More than 40,000 students have completed different courses through Faizan Online Academy. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is an amazing work that is happening around the world. Let me share with you another department of Dawood Islami. And this is amazing. This is a great initiative. And it's not easy. It's a really hard task. It's to open Islamic schools. Like the way you go to school, you learn other, you know, studies as well, English, math, science, and other subjects. Whereas you study them and you want to learn the deen as well in one place. Dawood Islami has opened a department called Darul Madina. Darul Madina. And currently, this has been, I think, about 10 years, 10, 12 years. It's not been that long. Okay, in this space of time, less than 15 years, I can't remember exactly when was it opened? When this department, the first school started.
I can calculate it.
You can calculate it. Calculate it then.
No, but when? No, like
the date. How many years? No, I have it in my mind, but just to be safe, I'm saying it less than 15 years. Yeah, it's either 11 or 12 years, but just to be safe, I'm saying less than 15 years when the first branch of the school opened. And now Dawood Islami has 161 Islamic schools. 161 Islamic schools, and currently 36,000 students are studying in these Darul Madina schools. In the UK, Dawood Islami opened these Darul Madina schools, and currently we have around 14 branches. 14 branches across the UK where we have this Darul Madina school. Subhanallah. This is when it comes to education. So I've mentioned to you, Jamiatul Madina. Can you please tell me what is Jamiatul Madina?
Jamiatul Madina is...
What do people do there? They learn to become Islamic scholars. They learn to become Islamic scholars. Jamiatul Madina are Islamic universities to produce Islamic scholars. Madrasatul Madina are Islamic institutes for learning the Quran. Yeah? And Darul Madina are Islamic schools. So this is one of the great works Dawood Islami has done in the form of education, educating people, teaching people the truth, the right things. Yeah. Now let's talk about what Dawood Islami has done with regards to building masajid, constructing and building masjid. How many masajid has Dawood Islami produced worldwide? Subhanallah, so far Dawood Islami has built, Allahu Akbar, 7,200 masajid around the world. Subhanallah, 7,800 masajid. That's a huge number. Subhanallah. And now the way Dawood Islami, this department is, you know, working so hard, they're putting so much effort into to build masajid, to construct the masajid, to renovate the masajid. In the last some years, Dawood Islami and this department, which is called Khudabul Masajid, which is responsible to build masajid, these annually in 1 year average, they build around 600 masajid. Masjid is one, masajid is plural. Yeah, we don't say masjids. Yeah, in Arabic we say masajid. Okay, so 600 masajid Dawood Islami builds annually. Subhanallah. These are some of the great works that Dawood Islami is doing in terms of building masajid. Then when it comes to the media, you know, spreading Islam using the media, the social media. Dawood Islami started one great initiative, which has been 17 years since it started. Yeah, Dawood Islami started a Islamic channel called Madani Channel. You're watching this program on Madani Channel. Do you know when Madani Channel started? It started 17 years ago. Subhanallah, Dawat Islami opened Madri channel, and this Madri channel is operating in 6 satellites, okay, worldwide, and in multi languages. We have, look, we're speaking in English. We're speaking English armies. You're watching Madri channel English at the moment. Madri channel is in Urdu. Madri channel is in Bangla. It's in Arabic. And we have a Madri channel for elder people as well. And we have kids Madri channel as well. And worldwide people watch this program, watch this channel. They benefit and they learn so many things about Islam. But I want to mention something else, because it's a kids program. Dawat Islami started Kids Madani Channel. So on Madani Channel, we have like a section called Kids Madani Channel. And on social media, there's different channels, there's accounts made for Kids Madani Channel. And online, this department is responsible to produce material for kids. And we have material in English, Arabic, and Urdu languages. And so on social media, we have 8 million subscribers for Kids Madani Channel on various platforms. 8 million subscribers. Alhamdulillah, Dawat Islami is doing a great work around the world, the welfare work and many other things. But these were just some of the highlights Dawat Islami is doing. And no, we can't finish this discussion without mentioning the great service and a favor of one personality who started all this. Who made this organization, who formed this organization, who planted the seed of Dawat Islami, then he watered this seed, he worked hard, tirelessly. He worked so much to get this Dawat Islami to grow and become a strong organization, and to give them the vision, the passion, the energy, the mindset to never give up. Who's that personality? Is none other than the founder of Dawat Islami, Maulana Ilyas Qadri. Maulana Ilyas Qadri, who we know as Amir Ahle Sunnat. And we see Amir Ahle Sunnat on Madri channel. We see him during Madri Muzakaras. Alhamdulillah, Amir Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri, who founded Dawat Islami. He's currently, if you look at his age, 26th Ramadan marks the birth of this great personality. Islamically, according to Islamic calendar, Amir Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri, 77 years. Now he's really old in age. Yeah, and according to English calendar, he's going to, very soon he's going to become 75-year-old. So someone who's 75, 77-year-old, just imagine how weak a person is and how many illnesses a person has, and his person gets so tired, he can't really do anything. But subhanAllah, even today, Allahu Akbar, Amir Sunnat is a heartbeat of millions of Muslims around the world. Many people who get tired, they want to give up, they get frustrated, they see the problems, they say, no, that's it, now I'm giving up. It's too much for me. I can't take it anymore. And sometimes a lot of people say that we're too old now, we're too big now. Now it's time for the kids to do the work. We're too old. Amir Sunnat is 77 years old and he's still giving time for the service of Deen. Every Saturday, he does live Madani Muzakara for a few hours. And he has so many meetings in between. And he stays awake late night in order to share the teachings of Islam with people, to guide them, to bring them towards Islam, to inspire them, to keep them away from the bad things, to instill that love for namaz, for sunnah, for goodness, for the Quran, to help them to be a better human being. SubhanAllah. This great work that I've shared with you, this is due to the hard work and efforts of one personality. What's the name? Maulana Ilyas Qadri. Say the name. Maulana Ilyas Qadri. Amir Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri. So all of the kids who are watching this program, make sure you know this name. Amir Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri. Alhamdulillah, he's done so much work in the dunya. And today's topic is inviting others to goodness. Look how many people, Allahu Akbar, Amir Ahle Sunnat, Maulana Ilyas Qadri has invited people towards goodness. Amir Ahle Sunnat has changed their lives. Amir Ahle Sunnat has produced thousands of scholars, thousands of people who have memorized the Quran. Hundreds and thousands who have read the whole Quran. Allahu Akbar, people are doing so much work. People have done tawbah, they've changed their lives. They were doing wrong things. They had some really evil habits. They've done tawbah and they turned to namaz. They turned to Islam. Loads of examples. And that's a message for all of us. If someone who is now 77 years old, if someone at this age who's still giving time to spread the teachings of Islam, then all of us, all the kids who are watching this program today, and these kids who are here in the studio, all of us should have that wish that I want to do the work of deen as well. I want to spread the teachings of Islam. When I grow big, I want to share Islam. I want to spread the beautiful and peaceful message of Islam across the world. And that's why all the kids need to be focused towards learning knowledge. Now make sure you learn the Quran, learn it with tajweed, memorize the Quran, become a hafiz of the Quran. Yeah, then later on become alim al-deen, join the Jamiatul Madina. Now do the alim program, become a muballigh of Dawat Islami, be involved with Dawat Islami activities in your locality. This is the message from the life of Amir al-Sul. Be involved, don't just waste your time. Do something. The kids, you can do so many things. Look, do you not have friends? Yeah, I'm going to talk to you now. Do you not have friends at school?
I do have friends.
Yeah, you have loads of friends. You know loads of people. Many of them are your friends. You have friends as well, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of you, all the kids have friends. Yeah. All these friends, ask yourself, do all my friends read namaz? And, what's going on? Do all your friends read namaz? A lot of people say no. And that's something for you now to work on. Make your friends namazi. If there's a Fizan-e Madina near your house, tell them to go and visit Fizan-e Madina. Tell them to read namaz in Fizan-e Madina. If there's a Sunni masjid in your local area, tell them to go to that Sunni masjid. Go and visit and read namaz with Jamaat. Encourage them. Those who don't read namaz, make them namazi. Those who don't read Quran, you know, get them to join Madrasatul Madina and help them to learn the Quran. And if you see any of your friend who swears, and loads of kids do, a lot of your friends swear, don't they? They say really bad words. I can't even say it here. Yeah. If you have a friend who swears, then you need to be firm. Say to him, whatever happens, first of all, don't swear. Don't say anything bad in front of me. Yeah. Say it up to him. You have to be, sometimes you just stay quiet. Don't hear the bad things. Yeah. Set a standard for yourself. If that person is your friend, he cannot swear. Look, if you're my friend, you can't swear. Full stop. You got a question?
Have you heard of Huzaifa? He usually comes to this mosque.
Huzaifa?
Yeah.
Is he a kid?
Yeah, like my age. He comes to my school and he prays here.
I can't, at the moment, I can't picture him. But I think it'll be a good idea if you invite him to Fizan-e Madina and then I'll see him.
Inshallah. He goes there. He goes here anyways.
MashaAllah, that's good. When he's here next time, tell him to meet me.
Okay.
Then I know who he is. MashaAllah, that's a good thing. Did you invite him though?
No, he comes by himself.
Yeah. But now I want you guys to take this as a challenge. Yeah, in your family. Now this is a live challenge to all the kids out there. In your family, if there's anyone, the adults as well, the boys, girls, anyone who doesn't read namaz, they're lazy, they just don't read namaz. I want you to take this challenge. I want you to encourage them to read namaz. That's your challenge. And if there's a Sunni masjid, if there's a Fizan-e Madina in your locality, then get them to read namaz with Jamaat. Obviously, the boys need to read namaz with Jamaat. The girls need to read namaz at home. That's the challenge. Our topic is inviting others to goodness. What better can you do than inviting people towards namaz? That's one of the best things you could do. You're helping someone to read namaz, and reading namaz, remember, is the key to paradise. So when you encourage someone to read namaz, when you get someone to read namaz, you're helping him to have the key to paradise. You're helping him to enter Jannah. That's amazing. It's beautiful. Wonderful, isn't it? One of the best things that you could do. You got a question?
Yeah. Aren't we in one of the branches of Dawat-e Islami?
Yes, we are. What do you mean? Where are we now?
Like which one?
We're now currently, right now, we are doing this program where? On?
Fizan-e Madina.
On? First, we're doing it on Madani Channel. Mm-hmm. Madani Channel is a department of Dawat Islami. So we're actually benefiting from the department of Dawat Islami, Madani Channel. Second, currently this studio is located in Oldham, which is in Greater Manchester, and it's in the building of Fizan-e Madina and Education Center. So this is also a branch, an institute of Dawat Islami. So we are benefiting from the work of Dawat Islami, alhamdulillah. Yeah. So this is something, you know, I hope that you probably learned all these things. All these things were new to you, weren't you?
Yeah.
Were these figures new to you? Were you aware of them before?
Yeah.
Were you aware of them before?
No.
Yeah. All these things were new to you, and this shows us how much work Dawat Islami is doing. So much. So my message to all the kids out there is two things. One, now if there's anyone in your family who's doing anything naughty, who's not reading namaz, get them to read namaz. Be on their case, but with love, with kindness. You know, use skill, use wisdom. Second, stay connected with Dawat Islami. Inshallah, the more we are connected with Dawat Islami, one of the beauty of Dawat Islami is that if you stay connected, the more you are connected in Dawat Islami will make you a mubaligh, will make you a preacher, will develop skills inside you. It will just happen. You won't even know. It will just happen. We got plenty of things to talk about today. I think it's time for us to move on. Should we have a little break? Let's listen to a kalam first. Come on then. Should we read it? Which kalam you want to read now?
Ya Rab Suwe Madina.
Ya Rab Suwe Madina. Come on then. Look at the camera. Read it now. You need to look at the camera, not the screen, okay?
Sallallahu alayka ya
energy.
Rasulallah wa sallam alayka ya Habibullah. Ya Rab Suwe Madina. Suwe Madina Mastana Banke Jau Ya Rab Suwe Madina Ya Rab Suwe Madina Mastana Banke Jau Us Shamre Do Jahan Ka Parwana Banke Jau Ya Rab Suwe Madina Ya Rab Suwe Madina Mastana Banke Jau.
MashaAllah, well done. Thank you, Noman. May Allah Ta'ala bless you. Now it's time for us to move on to our next segment. But just before we do that, I want to go back to the kids again. I want to ask you a question. Tell me, what have you learned so far from the segment My Islam?
I learned about the
Jamiatul Madina?
Yeah.
You learned about Jamiatul Madina. What is Jamiatul Madina?
Islamic
University.
University.
MashaAllah. What else have you learned?
It's been over 40 years ago.
Yes. 44 years ago since Dawat Islami was founded. Dawat Islami started. Which date? Do you remember the date?
1981, 2nd of December.
September. Can you say it again? 2nd of September, 1981.
Dawat Islami started 2nd September, 1981.
MashaAllah. Well done. You remembered. And who is the founder of Dawat Islami? Amir Ahl
Sunnat.
Maulana Ilyas Qadri Sahib. Can you say the name?
The founder of Dawat Islami is Maulana Ilyas Qadri.
MashaAllah, well done. SubhanAllah. How many people have like memorized the Quran and completed the Quran?
500.
You missed some.
Thousand.
Yes. Oh. 500 thousands. You know how much that is?
No.
Half a million.
Yeah.
Half a million. How many zeros does that have?
Five
zeros, yeah. It's got number five, and it's got five zeros next to it as well. So, mashallah, well done. But it's amazing, you know, what Dawat Islami has done in just 44 years. It's just amazing. We are so lucky that we live in the time that we have the presence of Amir al-Sunnat. You know, it's amazing to be in this time, this golden age. May Allah Ta'ala preserve him, give him a long and healthy life. And we're going to move to our next segment. And it's a very important segment, very important topic. And what is it? We'll discuss it in the segment. Okay, so let's go to Did You Know?
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Did you know? Okay, then let's have a little quiz first, then we'll discuss the topic. So, what did you know? Do you know what the topic is? So, it's linked with Ramadan. It's a very important topic. It's something we should all be aware of.
Reading the Quran.
No.
Reading the Tarawih.
No.
Fasting.
No. You're on the right line, okay, but you need to get the right word.
Respecting Ramadan, even though we already do it.
No.
Is it praying?
When you say even though we've done it, what does that mean?
We've already done the topic about it.
Okay, no, it's not that.
Is it praying?
Did you not say that before?
No.
Okay, no, it's not that. These are things you do, praying especially, is something you do in that moment.
Oh, dua for forgiveness.
That's what you do in that moment. I have to be very careful with words. It's something. It stays there for a period. It doesn't come during the day.
Taraweeh.
And normally it's in the last 10 days of Ramadan.
Itikaf.
No.
No, because it isn't. It
it's one of the reasons why people do itikaf. It's
Laylatul Qadr.
Say loud.
Laylatul Qadr.
Someone helped you, I think. It's Laylatul Qadr. What is Laylatul Qadr? The night of power. Today we're going to talk about the night of power. Laylatul Qadr. There are so many things we need to be aware of the night of Qadr. First of all, we need to remember that how important and significant is Laylatul Qadr. Okay, let me share with you some benefits, some excellence of this night. So we need to know that Laylatul Qadr is extremely blessed and sacred night. It is called Laylatul Qadr, the night of power, because in this night, the commandments of the whole year are enforced in this night. The angels, they are given the orders on this night that what they need to do throughout the year. Okay, the key decisions are made on this night and they're made aware. And angels, they make a record of whatever is going to happen the following year. Okay, they have that today. They are given a record on this day that whatever is going to happen in the coming year. And regarding this, it is mentioned in one of the commentaries of the Quran about this night that the destiny appears in the registers of the angels. So on this night, the destiny, like what's going to happen about each person for the whole year, is that has been mentioned, it gets written in the register of angels. Scholars have said, why is this night so sacred? Why is it so powerful? Scholars have said, in this night, the tasks for the following years are set and assigned to the angels. So the Qadr, the word Qadr means dignity or destiny. Okay, so honor, dignity. And the second reason why this night is so important and it has high status is because it was this night in which the glorious Quran was revealed. On this night, the Holy Quran was revealed. The worship performed in this night has great qadr. So whoever performs ibadah, worship, performs good actions, they do charity, they read namaz, they read Quran, they do tawbah. Yeah, on this night, whoever performs worship, that is honored, that is so excellent, has great status. Number four, Qadr also means narrowness. Okay, narrowness. Angels descend at this night in such a great number that the earth is crowded with them. Subhanallah. Angels come on the earth and then so many angels come.
They're crowded.
It crowds the whole earth. Allahu Akbar. For this reason, this night is called Laylatul Qadr. Layl, by the way, Layl means night.
Okay.
Okay, so Laylatul Qadr, night of Qadr. Qadr means power. It's a night of power. Now, kids, maybe you still didn't understand how important this night is, how powerful this night is. Let me share with you two things. One, we shouldn't waste this night. We shouldn't ignore this night. We should make sure, you know, we are focused. We do a lot of worship on this night, because whoever worships in this night is rewarded more than worship of 1,000 months. If someone worships on one night, in this night, this is like as if he has worshipped more than
1,000 months.
Do you know how much 1,000 months is? How many years and how many months? Come on then, let's see if you can calculate. Yeah, okay. Mr. Quadrillion.
30 times, what was the question again?
1,000 months. Yeah. One night, Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months.
30 times by...
Let's see who's the first one to get the answer. Come on.
That's easy. 30,000.
30,000 what?
Days.
I'm talking about how many years?
Oh, yes.
And months. Whilst they are working out, okay, let me continue the discussion about the night of Qadr. Okay. So one thing we've learned so far, how important is this night? That if someone worships in this night, this is better than 1,000 months. So that means, you know, you worship in one night, that's better than someone who's been worshiping for 1,000 months. And this night comes every year. So every year, if you worship in this night, just imagine how much reward and blessings you can gain. Subhanallah. It's amazing. The mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Only Allah and through Him, the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam knows that how much more. Okay, because it is mentioned that it's better than 1,000 months. It doesn't say it's equal to 1,000 months. It's better than 1,000 months. So how much more better than 1,000 months? Is it more 1,000 years better, or more 100 years better, more 5 years better? How much more? Allah Almighty knows best. And through Allah Ta'ala, now Allah Ta'ala has informed the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Wasallam, and he knows as well. Subhanallah. So how many years?
83 years and 4 weeks.
83 years and 4 months is the answer.
Close.
Wow, well done. So worshipping on the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, this is better than worshipping 83 years and 4 months. Allah, but these days, people don't even have that long lifespan. A lot of people pass away before. So it's like one night, you don't, as if you've been worshipping whole life. Yeah, and every year if you worship in that night, just imagine how much reward and blessings you can gather for yourself. Subhanallah. This is how important this night is. Sayyiduna Jibra'il al-Islam, who's the chief of angels, the leader of angels. Sayyiduna Jibra'il al-Islam and other angels, they descend. They come down at this night, and subhanallah, they shake hands with those who worship. Angels shake hands. Obviously, we got hands like this, don't we? Yeah, angels, however, they have the hands, whichever form, the angels. They're made out of nur.
How do we shake the hand if we
don't? We don't know. We can't see. Yeah, but angels have like the respect for those people who worship on this night. And angels shake hand the worshippers on this night. And each and every moment of this night is blessed night. It's blessed so much that it's full of peace, that remains peaceful till the dawn, till Fajr time. From Maghrib till the start of Fajr, all this time is called the night of Qadr. Subhanallah. Now, I'm going to share with you some interesting fact about the importance and how great this night is. Subhanallah. Are you ready for it?
Okay.
From here, you can learn how important and how great this night is. Allah Ta'ala has revealed a whole chapter, a whole surah with the name Surah Qadr. Just imagine how important this night is, that Allah Ta'ala has revealed a whole surah about the night of Qadr. And it's called Suratul Qadr. It's in the 30th para. That shows you, if it's in the Quran, just imagine how great this night is. Mind-blowing, isn't it? Subhanallah. It's amazing. Subhanallah. Which is that Surah Qadr? Let me read that Surah Qadr to you. And let me read the translation to you. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر Undoubtedly, we sent it down in the blessed night. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ And do you know what the blessed night is? لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ The blessed night is better than 1,000 months. تنزل الملائكة والروح والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر Therein descends angels and Jibreel by the commandment of their Rabb for every affair. سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر That is all peace till the rising of the dawn. The whole night is peace. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Just imagine how great an honor this night is that Allah Ta'ala has revealed a whole verse, whole surah, Suratul Qadr. That shows us that this night is not a normal night. It's so important. It's so great. And we need to be aware of this. Subhanallah. So here we learned one thing that Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil qadr. In this first verse, we learn Allah Ta'ala said that in this night, Allah Ta'ala revealed the Holy Quran. Yeah, he sent down the Quran on this night. What does that mean? Let's try to understand this. The scholars have said, the commentators of the Quran, they have said in this night, Allah Almighty sent down the Holy Quran from Lohi Mahfuz. Okay? From Lohi Mahfuz to the first sky. So the Quran Pak was descended to the first sky on this night. And after this, then gradually it was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam over the period of around 23 years. Okay? When it was revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, it was done in small parts. Different parts, some of the verses and some more, some less. Yeah, different parts and they happen on different occasions over the 23 years. Around 23 years it took for the whole revelation to take place. But when did it come to the first sky though? It came on this night, night of Qadr. Night of the Laylatul Qadr, Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. This shows you the greatness and importance of this night. The question is, when is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr has been kept a secret. Laylatul Qadr has been kept a secret. We know there is one night which is called Laylatul Qadr. It's so great, it's so blessed. Yeah. It has a high status, but it's kept a secret.
So like we don't know
so
the
it could be any time throughout the year. Yeah. However, it is more referred to, scholars have said, it's more likely to be in the last 10 days of Ramadan, one of them. And from them last 10 days, when we study the hadith, the prophetic narrations, we learn that from the last 10 days, it's the odd nights. It's one of the odd nights. What you mentioned, you were referring to the night of 21 Ramadan, the night of 23rd, 25th, 27th, 29th of Ramadan. So one of them five odd nights of last 10 days of Ramadan. One of them nights is Laylatul Qadr, but it could be different.
Like it changes every year?
Yeah, it could change, it could be different. This year it could be 21, next year it could be something else. Yeah, so it could be different. It could, and however, a lot of scholars, there are scholars who have said that every year Laylatul Qadr, it's on 27th night. So normally Muslims around the world, they try to put extra efforts in and they worship more on this night. Yeah, but in reality, it's a secret. Yeah, it could be and it can't be. Allah knows. Yeah, Allah knows if it is or not. It's a secret. But one thing that I want to make everyone aware that 27th night is fast approaching and a lot of scholars have gone with the opinion that it's on 27th night. Make sure you worship Allah Ta'ala. Don't do anything wrong, anything that you're wasting the night. Kids, make sure you don't play games. You don't, you know, watch videos and do other things. Don't just waste the night. Don't do wrong things on this night. Don't swear. Don't do cheating. Don't do anything wrong. Don't waste your time. Instead, focus on worship. Those who can read the Quran, recite the Quran. Those who can read Islamic books. Those who can read Durood Sharif. Those who can read Namaz. Read extra Nafal. Just do whatever you can do. Do the good things. Do all the good things on this night. Man, ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness. This is the night to ask Allah Ta'ala for forgiveness of all your sins. This night is better than 1,000 months. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. And this honor, this blessing is for, it's in the honor of, we have been given this night because of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam. There's an occasion, there's a moment when our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam became sad. And Allah Ta'ala blessed the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam with this night and he became happy. Alhamdulillah, we had a very beautiful discussion today about Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr. So can you tell me some facts you learned about Laylatul Qadr?
It is better than 1,000 months.
Yes. And what happened this night? The Quran Park
was revealed. It was revealed
and sent to
the sky.
The first sky. And then from there, how long would it take for the whole Quran to be revealed to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? How many days? How many months?
Oh yeah, 83 years and 4 months.
No. 23 years.
What?
I confused you there.
Oh.
Around 23 years. Yeah. And the figure that you said, Laylatul Qadr, is better than 1,000 months.
Oh, that was...
That is 83 years and 4 months. Subhanallah. Right, we're now going to the last final moments of the program. We've got a few segments left. We won't be able to cover all the segments today. But we are going to talk about one more segment, more importantly. And without any delay now, I want to go to the segment, Islamic Heroes.
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.
Welcome to our segment, Islamic Heroes. Subhanallah, in this segment, we get a chance to learn about some great Islamic personalities. And today, subhanallah, we have selected one such a wonderful, great personality of Islam. Who is that great personality? I'm not going to tell you right now. In our little quiz here, let's see if the kids can guess. It's one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Ta'ala Alaihi Wasallam, who is known as, he has one title, as Asadullah or Asadu Rasulullah. So the Lion of Allah, Lion of Rasulullah. That's one of his titles.
So are they part of the Ashram al-Bashra, basically?
I don't think they mentioned from part of the name, but obviously, no, they have a very high status and they will definitely go to paradise, inshallah. All the Sahaba will go to paradise. But this Sahab, this companion is someone who was born around 2 years before the birth, blessed birth of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Is it Umar?
And he's from the blessed family of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
No, but like we already
in relation,
know.
Today we were talking about uncle, weren't we?
Oh.
We were talking about uncle. He is also one of the uncles of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's one of the uncle. And one of the uncle who accepted Islam, we discussed Sayyidina Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is the other uncle. He's known as
Sayyidina Hamza.
He is Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He is one of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. He's known as the governor of Medina. He has a title, governor of Medina. He's known as the Asad of Allah. The Lion of Allah, the Lion of Rasulullah. He's famously known as Sayyid al-Shuhada, the leader, the chief of martyrs. You know those people who pass away in the path of Allah?
Yeah.
In the battle. They were fighting for the cause of Islam and they pass away. They are called martyrs. They have been made shaheed. So Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's known as Sayyid al-Shuhada, the leader of the Shuhada. So all the martyrs, he's the leader. He's the chief. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the uncles of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He is known for his professional military skills. He had a lot of, you know, skills. He was a warrior, and he had a distinct character. He was well known due to his character, his justice, his reputation as the protector of the weak. If he found any weak people who are struggling, those who are persecuted, he used to come and help. And subhanAllah, because the time is short, I'm just going to share with you, if I quickly, when he accepted Islam, this character of protecting, this was shown even at that time. He has got a characteristic of being protector. He loved protecting people. Someone is struggling, someone is being oppressed, he will come and help them. One day, our beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was sitting quietly on a mountain. So I'm going to share a story with you how Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu accepted Islam. And he's one of the earlier Muslims, those people who accepted Islam. So Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, our beloved Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting quietly on a mountain. And Abu Jahl, he with some other people, they came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, and he was an enemy of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He laughed at the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and making mockery and saying wrong words. Yeah, disrespectful words to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. You know, like a little gang. Yeah, gang people come and make a fun of you. They take the mick of you and they have a go at you. They try to bully you, that type of style. And these people came to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and doing all these wrong things. And then they threw dust on their Abu Jahl, he threw dust on the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's forehead. You know, like picking dust from the floor, threw that on the Prophet. That's rude, arrogant. And this dust that he threw, it fell on the blessed forehead of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and the clothes and the face. However, despite all this, our beloved master, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, who's the best when it comes to showing characteristics and good manners, subhanAllah, Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam remained silent. He just stayed cool, stayed calm. He didn't respond. They were looking for a reaction. Yeah, they were looking for a reaction. Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam did not respond. He stayed quiet. And Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at this moment, he was not a Muslim. He's the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he didn't accept Islam. However, when he witnessed this disrespectful act, he came off his horse or the ride, and he had a bow and arrow. He struck his bow. Yeah, he hit that on Abu Jahl. The bow, he stuck that, he hit him. He hit Abu Jahl's head. He smacked him on his head. Even though he did not embrace Islam at this moment, but he loved his nephew, Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so much. And in response, you know, this obviously happened, that you know, that this unpleasant, you know, like thing that happened before, that made him angry, and he came and hit Abu Jahl on the head. And you know, then this was the occasion where he came forward, and as a reaction to this, he, in front of everyone, he said, "I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is his messenger." And he accepted Islam. He came to help his nephew. His nephew is struggling, and he knew his nephew is truth. He's on the right, and he came and he accepted Islam. Subhanallah. And this is, remember, Abu Jahl, he knew that Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was so strong, he was so brave, that he did not have dare to, you know, come back and say anything to him. He was scared. Abu Jahl was scared. All these people were scared. They didn't do anything. Yeah. So subhanAllah, Abu Jahl and the company, they were bullying. They were saying wrong things in the court of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam. Sayyidina Amir Hamza, the blessed uncle of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, came to rescue Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, to help Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam in this occasion. But subhanAllah, what did he know? Yeah, what did he know? He came to assist his nephew, but subhanAllah, something else was written for him. The door of guidance, the noor of light and guidance of Islam opened for him, and he accepted Islam and he became a Muslim. and became a Sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu played a vital role in the early time of Islam. In the battles in Islamic history, he did so much great work. He also took part in helping rebuilding and constructing the holy Kaaba Sharif when the destruction was caused by a flood. So he played a role as well in constructing the holy Kaaba Sharif, and he was involved in many occasions, and he has so much connection, so much love, so much, you know, strong bond he had with the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam the whole life. And Prophet sallallahu ta'ala used to love him so much. And at the age of around 54, he passed away. He was martyred in the plains of Uhud. Have you heard of the Battle of Uhud? The Battle of Uhud. Have you heard of Mountain Uhud?
I heard it on YouTube.
Yeah, have you heard of Mount Uhud?
No, yeah. I haven't heard about it.
It's in Medina Sharif. Beautiful, beautiful place in Medina Sharif, Mount Uhud. And on the Mount Uhud, there's a historical battle that took place. And Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu not only took part in that battle, but he showed bravery, he showed courage, he showed his strength. He fought there with the enemies, and he fought so hard. There was so many achievements he had in this battle, but it was the same battle where he also got martyred as well. He got martyred near the Mount Uhud, and that place, as people visit that place even now, those who visit the blessed land of Medina Sharif, you know, they visit frequently, minimum once, they try to go and visit the shrine of Sayyidina Amir Hamza, which is next to the Mount Uhud. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, Muslims all around the world, they go there and they pay their visit, they pay their respect. And some people, they actually go to pay respect first before they enter the city of Medina Sharif, because he was the governor of Medina Sharif. Subhanallah. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to study the lives of great companions of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala sallam, and may we learn lessons from them, from these great personalities. May Allah Ta'ala protect our iman, keep us steadfast upon the teachings of Islam for their sake. And may Allah Ta'ala allow us to live our life according to their footsteps. Ameen bijahi nabiyil ameen. Now we are heading to the final moments. So before we do anything else, what was the question of the day? Can someone help me?
I don't know either.
Both people saying, I don't know. Okay, the question is, in which surah of the Holy Quran are the people of the cave being mentioned? Okay, the people of the cave, Ashabi Kahf, where in the Quran have they been mentioned? And the answer is
Surah Kahf.
Surah Kahf, that's what Adam says, and Noman says blank. Let's look at the screen and find the answer. The answer is Suratul Kahf. Suratul Kahf, subhanAllah, many of you kids have got the answer correct. Well done to all of you. I want you to stay tuned, keep watching Madani channel. Now we're going to take a leave. Before we leave, like we always do, we're going to request all these kids here as well, and those who are watching the program, wherever you are in the world, I want everyone to say, I love Islam. Are we ready? I love
Islam!
I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam. I love Islam.